Welcome to the Nicholas and Tally Show. Today on the podcast, Daniel Niss.
An emergency room nurse for the past 8 years, valedictorian of his nursing school class. He's got a master's of science in nursing education, and he's also an associate professor for the nursing school at a local community college. Most importantly, he's currently caring for COVID-19 patients. So, if you want to know what's going on with COVID in the world, listen to the podcast. Stay tuned to the end. Head on over to nicholasandtally.com, shop for sweatshirts, use the discount code THENNSHOW20, you'll get 20% off your purchase. Honestly, Nick wants to know what you think of the podcast, so please leave a review. This episode is sponsored by Little Webby LLC at littlewebby.com. Creates the best darn custom software, websites, and mobile applications in the game. DM them on Instagram at Little Webby LLC. Say you listen to the show, and you'll get a free 30-minute consultation.
Last but certainly not least, this episode is mixed and mastered by Mr. John Benny.
I'm the intern, you're the listener. This is Nick.
And that's running. I'm starting the old cam. That's running. All right. We're good to go.
Woo!
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Hello and welcome. This is the Nicholas Natale Show. I am your host, Nicholas Natale. Today we have the most special guest of them all. Daniel Niss and Layla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up? What's up, party people?
What's up?
I'm the co-host for today. Daniel Jerome Niss.
That's right. Put some respect on the name, baby.
Put some respect on my name.
Let them know. We're going to be
Real quick, one question. What's a podcast and who's listening?
All the people at home and
all right. That question.
Okay, back to the news. We're talking COVID.
Real question is: there going to be video of me on this, or is it just audio?
Oh no, there's a video. All of this, Everything you're working with right here.
Okay, so leave my shirt on.
Well, no, I'd prefer it if you just, yeah, or maybe a tease at least. I'm happy you suited up in your tux.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Are you ready for the hard-hitting questions?
I'm kind of ready. You gave me some questions that you were going to ask me to study, and I got to be honest, I did not do any homework. So I'm going to give it my best shot. I watched one YouTube video last night on coronavirus, so I kind of know what it is, but... then I fell asleep.
Oh, perfect. You're the best person to talk to then. Yeah. It's funny because this is the... I've never given anybody questions beforehand. I was like, full preparation just for you. And yet...
I know, I wanted the questions, but I didn't sound like a dum-dum. But I was being lazy.
It happens. It's all good. I watched this doctor from New York talk about it for a whole hour. So I'm basically a specialist at this point.
Okay. So you probably know as much as I do.
I hope not. You're out there. You're battling it. Not personally, but I guess personally, not personally. In person.
Yeah. I'm a soldier of God.
On the front lines.
There's this dude on YouTube called Nurse Ninja or something. Ninja Nurse?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. He'll teach you anything you want to know.
About nursing?
You could just watch all of his videos and then go past the NCLEX and become a nurse.
Wow.
Just watch his channel.
And that's how you did it.
That's how I got through nursing school.
Oh, shoot. See, that's the thing people don't understand is, you know, you don't have to get a formal education. Nurse Ninja will do it for you.
Yeah.
Dope.
I'm planning on going to law school soon, online. After I've got a better call Saul.
Yeah. That's next on the list.
It's next on the list.
I'm curious, have you gotten into the telehealth?
We're using it now in the ER. Yes.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm. So it's blowing up right now.
Yeah.
Blowing up on the scene. They're using it all over, trying to keep people from coming into the hospital and spreading that coronavirus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like it's got to be popping off right now because people don't want to be interacting in person right now. Uh-huh. Was that common before in the medical industry or no?
You can send my avatar into the room to do all my work.
It's like a me.
It's becoming more and more common to use telehealth. A lot of doctors are doing it, trying to keep up with the high demand on the healthcare system. There's not enough doctors and nurses, and there's too many patients. But for sure, this coronavirus thing has made it like blow up tenfold. I've never seen them use it in the ER before, except for like specialties. Like if someone comes in with a stroke and there's not a neurologist in the ER, then they will have a guy come on a little monitor, like wheel in it. He's a robot, and he'll say, "Lift your arm up." Okay, no, you had a stroke.
No way.
All right, nurse, give him some medicine. Yeah, teleneurologist. That guy's just like sitting in his living room, getting paid like $2 an hour.
He's got a beer right behind the camera. Microwavable meals on deck.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
We have teleneuro in the ER now. The doctors are scared to leave the comfort of their doctor's lounge in the back and go get coronavirus. So we're wheeling up cameras and they're doing their assessments on the camera. And like, we have a little device that we put on their chest and they listen to their lungs and their heart and stuff. And the doctor's in the back sipping his coffee.
What? So they're still in the hospital.
Trying not to get coronavirus.
Why not go the full length and just stay home? Why are they still coming in?
I don't know.
Lounge is pretty dope.
Lounge is dope, yeah.
Recliner chairs.
Keurigs.
Jacuzzi. That's funny. So, yeah. So hit me.
We can get in that later.
Right.
That's 6 on the list you sent me, so.
I'm going off the dome, brother. I feel like I did a little more research today that I thought was interesting. So I might sprinkle a little, you know, little randos in there.
Okay.
Little fireballs.
I'll make up some stuff. Hopefully nobody listening has any medical training, because then they're going to know that I'm full of crap. But if it's just like a bunch of your retarded friends, they might believe me.
You're the most reliable medical source in my life. So I'm actually starting to get concerned at this point.
I used to do Nick's physicals in high school.
Oh, bro.
I would just put in a doctor's name and make up a blood pressure and tell him to feel his own balls and cough.
I did a podcast talking about physicals, and I almost mentioned that part, and I wasn't sure if I should have because of legality reasons, but I'm glad it's already coming out.
Yeah. A long time ago. Times are different.
That's true. All those CIF ones, they're gonna look back on and discredit all of them. But you're a pro. It counts.
Yeah. Yeah.
At something.
I've been forging doctor signatures for years.
I've been forging mom's signature for even longer.
So when I was in 12th grade, I turned in my, like, I don't know, paperwork to start this semester school year, and I changed my birthday to 1985. So it said so they thought I was 18.
Yeah.
And then the first day I turned it in, I signed mom's name. First day of school, I went and signed myself out and said, "Oh, I got to go home early, because if you're 18, you're allowed to sign yourself out."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Daniel, you're 17." And I was like, "No, I'm not. I just turned 18. And she's like, "No, you didn't." And she pulled the paperwork and she looked and she was like, "Oh, okay." And signed me out and I left and I was like, "Dang, that's so cool." My friends are driving out, and then mom called me like 30 minutes later. I was like, "Hey, you forged that signature, huh? Get back to class."
Did you have to go back, or did she let you keep the falsehood going?
I had to go back and apologize.
Dang, not only are you busted that you're 17, you're busted that you forged a signature.
Yeah.
R.I.P. I can't remember getting busted for any of... I think most of my forged signatures of moms were just from getting, like, tardies. Because as soon as I could drive, I would tend to miss first period at times, you know? Because, like, why do I got to go to the first one?
Well, the real question is, why does school start at like 7:40? You know, what kind of nonsense is that?
Right.
Start at 9 o'clock and maybe I'll be on time.
I mean, that's what time society runs off of now. So come on now. I think teenagers' bodies in general are more prone to the sleeping schedule.
Yeah. Starts at like 7:40 and then he gets out at like 2:12. What kind of hours are these?
It baffles my mind. I try to think back on how it was this waking up at the same time every single day and how consistent it was. I don't understand that at all. It's so foreign to me now.
Oh, because you just sleep in a Suburban and wake up whenever you want and pee your own pants and everything?
I pee where I want, I poop where I want, sleep when I want. It's the full American dream. The school system didn't train me on that.
Uncle Nick. It's Uncle Nick.
That's me.
All right, man. What's up? You want to know about coronavirus?
I do. What is COVID-19? Or so, L-COVID, you know, as the people are like calling El Nino,
back in 2030?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the El Nino of our time.
Yeah. So apparently coronavirus, you know, according to WebMD, according to Wikipedia, it's a ton of coronaviruses. There's a bunch. They infect mammals. And we've had some that have, like, infected humans. The last one was MERS, Middle Eastern Respiratory Distress Syndrome, 2012, 2013. And then before that was SARS, 2004, 2002 or something like that. Those were both similar viruses that were pretty deadly. Like, the mortality rate was high, but it only infected, like, a way smaller amount of people. Like 8,000 people or something. Only, I think, 800 died. This one is already, like, I don't even know what it's at, like 1 million people or something. But it's a virus. It's pretty high. They call it a coronavirus because of the way it looks under a microscope. But basically, viruses kind of all function the same way. They somehow infect you, like, different routes. You know, it could be like bloodborne, STDs. Good thing for you, Nick, this is not a sexually transmitted virus. This one is a respiratory virus, so it's basically getting transported through your respiratory system, like droplet, or it can be airborne. So if you cough or sneeze or touch your saliva or something, and somebody else gets in contact with it and then they touch their mouth or their nose or their eyes, and it gets in your body and it's a virus, so it infects a cell and it takes over, like it reprograms your cells to make more viruses, to replicate itself. And then it causes all kinds of damage when it's doing this. This particular virus is a respiratory virus, so it gets into your respiratory tract somehow and it infects these, like, alveoli, little parts of your lungs. And while it's taking over those small cells and replicating itself, it's causing damage and inflammation, and your body's having an immune response. And this is like a that's like part of this disease is why it's so bad, is because the immune response is like hyperactive. It's called like a cytokine storm is what they're calling it. So it's just like mass inflammation in your lungs, though. So it's like tearing up these alveoli. The alveoli is a little small part of your lung that where the gas exchange happens. So when you breathe in, that's what actually pulls the oxygen into your bloodstream. So it's ruining these cells, so that way you're not able to have proper gas exchange, and you know that's why people are getting symptoms like cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing. And then with any infection, you're going to have a bad fever, or you can have a bad fever. This one is one of like the cardinal signs people are coming in with is elevated temperature and then cough, shortness of breath. Sometimes people are having other symptoms like fatigue, body aches, GI symptoms. Upper respiratory symptoms like sore throat, runny nose, stuff like that. But this virus is pretty gnarly, I guess. You know, people keep comparing it to the flu. Like, oh, it's just like the flu. It is similar, like flu-like symptoms, but it's a lot more contagious. So more people are catching it, and it's a lot higher mortality rate, morbidity rate. It's pretty bad. I don't want to get it. Doesn't look like fun. The people that I've seen that have it. I think the flu, they say on average you give it, there's like some kind of R number. You give it to like on average one person, one other. So like every one person that gets infected can give it to one other person. But this thing is like 2 to 4 people. So you give it to four of your friends, Nick, and then they give it to 4 of their friends. That's already 16 friends.
That's a lot of friends.
Yeah.
I don't, but.
For people like us that are young and healthy, not that crazy, but the older you get, it gets a lot more scary. And then if you have comorbidities like cardiovascular problems and lung problems or immune system issues, then you're screwed.
You're done for.
Done so.
I feel like I've been...
I don't know if that explained it at all for you, if you understand it now, but...
I does.
Kind of rambled for a minute.
I need a lot of that. I need you just to just dump your knowledge onto me because I'm trying to
out.
No.
Oh.
Nope. Just straight through, you know? Just all raw.
Like a Tarantino film. Okay. Next question.
Basically. Next question. I've been seeing that this disease is not a, what is the right word? It doesn't care who you are. It does all ages outside of 0 to 14 years old. Everybody can get it. It's not like it's just for old people, which I think was a narrative that was being spun early on.
Yeah, definitely. That was like the early reports from China. Those commies. They weren't giving out the proper data. Or it might just be the fact that they have a different population and they're like genetically different and it was affecting them differently. But from what we've seen, the rest of the world and the United States, it can affect everybody. It can infect kids, you know, babies. I think a neonate died, like some baby that was like 10 days old or something.
Yeah.
But for like the majority of people that are under like 30 years old, it's not affecting them very, very hard. You know, most people are having mild symptoms or no symptoms at all. But you can still get infected. And that's the problem is like, there's dum-dums in Florida that are on spring break and they're like, oh, whatever. Raging. If I get it, I get it. You know, I'm still going to party. Like, that's cool. You'll probably be fine. But when spring break's over and you go home to your, you know, back to your parents' house or you go visit your grandma or you.
I was going to say, yeah.
Whatever, your cougar girlfriend and they catch it, they might not be so lucky. And then, you know, you all get it and you're just going to keep spreading it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like a Coachella last year. Remember, like they said, like 1 in 4 people got herpes.
Remember that? My gosh! Yeah, I do remember that.
When you were at Coachella, do you remember that?
I mean, I don't remember it. Like, you know, I mean, let's talk about the transmission then. So, if I got this banging cougar girlfriend of mine, how can I not transmit it to her? I guess I should say, how can anybody in general be proactive and not, you know, spread this thing?
Yeah, the main thing is wash your hands. You know, that's how most people are going to contract it, is from touching something and touching their mouth or their nose or their eyes. For someone to come cough right in your face, it doesn't happen to me very often. You know, I'm a nurse, so it does happen to me every once in a while. But for the most, like for a normal person out there in the world, like you're not going to usually get coughed or sneezed on.
Yeah.
So you hope not. People are wearing a mask. They're advising people to wear masks, which is good because it may block some pathogen from droplet from going into your mouth, but it's also going to protect everybody else from you, you know, because you might be an asymptomatic carrier or have mild symptoms and don't think you have it. And if you're out there coughing and talking and spitting and stuff, it's going to get out there. So a mask is a good idea. The only problem I see with that is I know when I wear a mask, it's like as soon as I put that thing on, all I want to do is touch it and
adjust it and move it.
And so I feel like you're more likely to be touching your face and introducing bacteria. But, I mean, if you just keep it in the front of your mind that you don't need to touch your face and keep the mask on when you're out in public. Wash your hands before you ever touch your face, before you eat, after you do anything, after you touch any public surfaces. No more holding hands with Mark.
Oh, man. You're going to bring out my ex-boyfriend like that? Like, shoot. who left me for the Navy and I never saw him again?
Okay, I mean, with...
Jake. Jake. There you go. I'll take that. All right. Current boyf.
Who's that one that's at EMT?
That's Jake.
Jake, yeah.
That's your side boo now. You see him more than I do.
I saw him sleeping in his AMR unit the other day.
Knock on the window. Wake up like me.
Yeah. So, like, if you're in a house with some people, you know, odds are, if you start getting symptoms, you need to quarantine yourself from the rest of the house. So, stay in a separate room, you know, unless everybody's gone. Keep everything real clean. But the people you come in contact with or you live with, like, yeah, it's probably all fine to be in there in rooms together. It's just out in public, the grocery store. That's where everybody's going to get it, trying to buy toilet paper.
Yeah, fighting for it. Yeah. These are the things. This is what I've been hearing. Here's the thing. This is the things from a U.S. citizen gaining knowledge from the media. I hear, shrink your social circle. Shrink your social circle. Wow. So you don't see as many people, I guess. So it's less likely to transmit it. But the other thing I hear is, or at least what I kind of read is, like, healthcare professionals that are washing their hands and not touching their face, like, the chances of getting it are very slim if you're following the right precautions. So to me, it seems almost as straightforward as don't touch your face, wash your hands, don't be all over the place chatting it up with people.
So I've heard this in Dr. Tedros, that World Health Organization doctor, and the CDC are all saying that it's droplet precautions. So that's pretty much it. You know, unless someone coughs on you, you're gonna get it from touching stuff. They say that there's like a fecal oral transmission too, possibly. So that's like if someone doesn't wipe their ass or doesn't wash their hands after they wipe their ass and preparing your food or something like that, you can get it. But that's most
disgusting.
I'm not buying it. Because they say it's droplet precautions unless certain circumstances can make it airborne precautions. Airborne precautions means that I can cough and that virus gets out and just floats in the air for X amount of time. They're saying this can be 3 hours. So if I'm in my room coughing and, you know, nobody's in here with me, and then you walk in 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes later and you breathe it in, you can potentially get it. So I've never ever heard of this in my 8 years of being a nurse or you know, being an EMT before that, of something being airborne and droplet. It's usually whichever one's worse, that's what they categorize it as. So I think this thing is airborne, you know, and they're saying that certain things we do, like if they're coughing or if you're intubating somebody or if you're giving them a breathing treatment with a nebulizer, those are things mm-hmm. that can be airborne. But I'm not buying it. I think that they're telling us this because we don't have enough masks. We don't have N95 is the mask you need to wear for airborne diseases or a PAP, like a machine, a respirator. And we don't have enough. So I think that they just like pulled that out of their ass and they just made that up. Like, oh, well, if they're coughing, then maybe put one on or if intubating them then. But if not, just wear your bandana. You'll be fine. I think it's a load of crap. But the hospitals are all following those guidelines because it's the CDC that's recommending it, and also because we don't have any
the stuff to do it. Yeah,
we don't have any. Yeah, but I'm not buying it. In Asia and like parts of Europe, they're reporting 1/3 of all cases are healthcare workers.
Oh, yeah. Really?
1/3 in Asia for sure. In China, they said 1/3 of all their confirmed cases were healthcare workers. And there's like some crazy link to where healthcare workers are having the most like symptomatic, you know, or the worst symptoms from it. So there's a reason for that. They're all lying.
Yeah. They were saying the people that get it in the healthcare community are getting it the worst. Like they're getting it bad. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's interesting.
That are in the hospital right now. One guy's in his 30s. One guy's in his 40s. And they're both on ventilators.
Dang.
You put on a ventilator, like your mortality rate is not good.
Like one I thought, that is that common. I thought that was almost in the process. Like No, to tell so me if this is wrong.
Okay, go ahead. Hit me.
Well, I was just going to say the first like 1 to 3 days is fever, cough, body aches, sore throat. And then 3 to 7 days, it starts to get pretty bad. And if you're on your seventh day and you're starting to get real shortness of breath, they put you on a ventilator for a few days. And then you're starting to be in the recovery phase after that. Hit me. What are the symptoms like and how do you take care of them?
Most people, like it's basically based off your age group and your morbidity, your comorbidities. Majority of people are going to have mild symptoms. So it's either asymptomatic, you're not going to have any symptoms, which sucks because then you can still be contagious and you don't even know, you know, you can still be giving it to people. Yeah. It's good for you because you don't have any symptoms. Or you can have mild symptoms, fever, cough, sore throat, body aches, stuff like that. And most people get better after that. And a few people, so they call where it turns into the SARS, severe acute respiratory distress syndrome. That's when it's like what I was talking about, where it's attacking your alveoli and it's just basically just like bursting them. And so they're no longer working. They're flooded with fluid in there from your immune response. And then it goes into respiratory failure. So once you're in respiratory failure, severe respiratory distress, that's when you get put on a ventilator. So at that point, you're like a critically ill person. You're going to the ICU. That's basically life support. You're on life support. That machine is breathing for you because you're not, you know, getting enough. You're not exchanging enough oxygen in those damaged lungs to live on your own. So they have to pump a bunch of air into you. They have to keep the pressures up really high to try to inflate those lungs back up. And then when you're at that point, there's a good chance you're going to go into like other type of organ failures because you're hypoxic. You don't have enough oxygen flowing to those other organs either. Septic becomes septic very easily. And people are getting like super infections. You have a bunch of fluid in your lungs. So you have viral pneumonia and then all that fluid and, you know, terrible stuff that's going on. You have a good chance of getting a bacterial pneumonia on top of that. So you have two shitty pneumonias, you have multi-organ failure, you're on a ventilator. I think, listen to the baby.
If you're intubated,
it's not a good sign. It's not definitely not like the normal progression of this disease. Those are the people who are getting severely ill. So a lot of people are needing like supplemental oxygen. But even those people are, if you need to wear oxygen, even just a like nasal cannula or a mask, like, that means that this disease is hitting you pretty hard. And you're in for a fight. Oh, my friend, who is the nurse that I work with, he's 48. He is diabetic. If you're diabetic, your mortality rate goes up by 7% just from diabetes.
Wow.
He's type 2 diabetic. He is otherwise healthy dude. He's like thin. He lost weight. He's like a pretty healthy guy. He eats good. He got sick. He came in. I swabbed him. He said he felt terrible. He had body aches. I swabbed him, sent it off. He got his results the next day. He's positive. He, like 2 or 3 days later, I checked up on him. He said he was feeling terrible at home. Day or so after that, he came into the hospital. His oxygen was low, so they put him on oxygen. They started giving him that Plaquenil, that hydrochloroquine, and zithromycin and some other stuff. And he started to feel better. And then like 2-3 days into his admission, he couldn't breathe, got intubated. He's been on the vent for over a week now.
So, oh, balls.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going to happen. But gnarly. The other guy I know, that my other friend that's intubated, he has some medical problems too, but he's only like 30, 31. And this fool's been intubated for like going on 2 weeks now.
Oh, dang.
Like after a week, like every day you stay on, your chances of survival are like cut by like 5% or something. I mean, I was making these numbers up. I don't know.
Right.
100% of the time.
That's crazy. This is like, yeah, this is chopping down all of the things that I had preconceived about it.
Yeah. Definitely don't want to be intubated if you can avoid it. I mean, those people are in respiratory failure. Your lungs have failed. They're so damaged that they no longer work. This machine has to help your, you know, just pump you full of oxygen. And then some people, that's not even enough. They're going to die from respiratory failure, or they get put on some kind of other treatment, ECMO. I don't really know what that is. I'm not an ICU nurse.
That's crazy, man. So that's not standard. I'm baffled by all of that, honestly. I'm also curious because I want to know more. Two things, I guess. When should I, if I'm starting to feel a little queasy, when do I come to the hospital? And let's start there. I'm starting to get a fever. what point of my symptoms do I go into the hospital?
So basically you don't go to the hospital until you have severe symptoms. Right now they're setting up a lot of testing centers and supposedly more tests are coming. So go to a testing center. If your only symptom is fever, take Tylenol, stay home, call your doctor. Mm-hmm. Call, and if you don't have a doctor, you can call the ER. Don't just show up in the ER. If you think you have COVID-19, do not just show up in the ER unless you feel like you can't breathe and you're going to die if you don't come.
Yeah.
But even if that's the case, then call 911 and tell them on the phone, like, hey, I think I have coronavirus and I can't breathe, so that people are prepared when you show up. If you call the hospital, if you call your doctor, they might just treat you over the phone, like with the telemedicine. They might ask you your symptoms or Skype you or whatever and maybe call you in a prescription or tell you to take Tylenol. They'll tell you things to watch for. They'll coach you through it. But just a fever, I would definitely not show up at the hospital. Fever, cough, don't come to the hospital. Fever, cough, body aches, sore throat, don't come to the hospital. Call. If you can't get a hold of anybody, then you can come to the ER or something if you really need to. Or if you're short of breath. Difficulty breathing is like the main reason why, people should come in with this. Just make sure you let everybody know why you're there, so you're not infecting people. Because there's a couple reasons why. Say you have a fever, mm-hmm. and you come to the hospital because you're just scared. I have coronavirus. Nobody blames you for that. It's a scary thing. I don't want to have it. But what if you have the flu, the regular flu, and you go sit in the ER lobby next to a bunch of other people who think they have the coronavirus, and one of them really does,
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get in there for the flu, and you're immune suppressed because your body's already trying to fight off this other infection that you have. And you go in there and you accidentally make out with this guy in the bathroom.
Accidentally.
Next thing you know, you got it too. Or whatever, And
I just fell over and kissed him.
I think us nurses here, this is going to be the main thing. Is that's probably what's going on all over the world too. Is like we're super infectors, I think is what they called it, or something like that. Because a lot of us probably have it, and are asymptomatic or have mild symptoms and still came to work. And you're going to come in there and tell me all of your problems, and I'm going to be your nurse and give you a little hug and give you some medicine in a cup and come talk to you face to face and give it to you. Hospital is the last place you want to be if you can avoid it right now.
Yeah.
We had a lady come in last week and she said she was pregnant and she was having like cramps or something. And she comes in, we ask everybody, do you have a fever, cough, shortness of breath? Have you been in contact with anybody with coronavirus? Have you been to any of these certain areas in the world right now? And she says no. And then she gets back there. She sees she gets checked in, goes to triage, sees some people, goes to the back, sees a nurse, comes to the back. Then the doctor comes, talks to her. And then after she sees like 10 people, she says, also, I'm scared to have coronavirus because my husband has it. And I got tested yesterday, but my results aren't in. But I was just too scared to tell you guys because I thought you wouldn't let me come into the ER. So it's like, bitch, dang. Now you came in. Give it to everybody just because you're stupid. Like, we still would have let you in. You just have to tell us the truth, so we could have been prepared and put masks on and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't be like that lady.
Do not be like that lady. What a dumb idiot. What a moron.
A
stupid dunce, honestly. The other thing I think is kind of happening from what I'm seeing is people are, I don't know what the right word is, like, I understand in some communities that testing is not as available as others, but it's almost like everybody feels the need to be tested. And one of my friends got tested who did not want to be tested. They like, for whatever reason, he was like forced to be tested. I don't remember his circumstances exactly, but he said it was miserable. Like, you're sticking something down somebody's throat and scraping the back of their throat and then sticking something into their nose and scraping the top of their nose, right? He said blood came out of his nose. Like, what is this test really like?
So I got tested last week, actually.
No balls.
they called me and said, my patient tested positive that I was taking care of, whatever. Are you having symptoms? And I was having a cough, but it was from huffing paint. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't huffing paint. I was painting my house, and I didn't have a mask because all these bastards bought all the N95s at Home Depot.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a mask. I painted my whole house, and then I got a cough, but I think it's from breathing that paint in.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I have a cough. And they're like, all right, you need to come in and get tested. It's pretty terrible. I've tested a ton of people now, and like I was just like, oh, shut up, you pussy. You know, like, right. Yeah. Did it to me, and I was like, oh, my God, this is what I've been doing to people. You open your mouth, and a guy shoves this Q-tip that's like 8 inches long or something in the back of your throat, and he swabs your throat a little bit. And then he shoves it up your nose, the same Q-tip. Oh. Shove it up your nose, and it goes all the way back to where you can kind of feel it, like in the back of your throat.
Oh my gosh!
And it like doesn't go easy either. It's like they got to kind of push it.
The boogers. And then
they,
got it back
there, they twist it back and forth to kind of like try to swab the area. And I've been doing them fast, like on people, like just try to do it. This guy was like taking his time. He's like, "How you feeling?" When he pulled it out, it hurt. It wasn't fun.
Yeah,
but they have years of testing. Supposedly now where I work, they have a 15-minute test, which is a swab. They also have sputum tests. You could spit in a cup, like Hakalugi, and now they have some blood tests, and they have the antibody test. So that can, if you've had it in the past, this will tell us. Like, say you don't have symptoms anymore, you've already recovered.
Yeah,
you can go take a blood test, and they'll tell you if you have the antibodies.
Jeez. Yeah. That test sounds like it blows real bad. That's enough. That test alone is enough for me to want to just stay inside. If I'm being perfectly honest. So what do I do with my friends now?
Yeah, it was not.
If I'm like.
Well, you're supposed to stay quarantined.
Right.
So just stay in your house. You know, if you go hang out with your friends, I got to be honest, I've gone to my friends' houses and done some stuff. Went golfing the other day with Dylan and went to Jeff's house and built a gate.
Nice.
But I just stay away from them. You know, I just don't get close and wash your hands.
Yeah.
Wear a mask if you're coughing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that's just,
I don't know. How long are we supposed to do this? Stay quarantine. It's crazy. They said that it's supposed to, like, just to prevent it from the spike getting so high that it overwhelms the healthcare system. Because that's actually why a lot of people died, like in Italy, most likely was because, I mean, they obviously had the coronavirus and they were really sick. But some of those people probably could have lived. But they literally didn't have enough ventilators to put people on, you know? Like, they didn't have enough staff to take care of these people. Like, you don't want to go to the hospital when it's conditions like that, you know? Like, if you go into the hospital now in California, you got a way better shot at survival because we have like flattened that curve to where we don't have, our system isn't overwhelmed like those places are, like New York, you know?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on, because I kind of agree with this notion too, that we're going to flatten the curve and there's going to be some sort of like, all right, let's try to get back to normalcy, like slowly, and continue social distancing to, you know, but things are going to start get moving again. And then people are going to be like, "Ah, it's not that big of a deal." And then there's going to be a second spike, a second wave of this. Do you have any thoughts on the wave or how long and all that stuff?
Yeah. They're actually saying that this might be like turn into like a seasonal flu. You know, like it's not probably not going to go away and just like be gone. You know, like it's infected so many people that it's going to probably be. Get out of here. What are you doing? It's probably going to be hard to, you know, completely eradicate this thing like they did with Ebola. But, yeah, there'll probably be some more spikes, you know, throughout the year. And then hopefully by next year, sometime they can have a vaccine or at least a treatment, you know. There's already a bunch of medications that are like promising treatments for this that there's like an Ebola medicine that they're using. There's an HIV medicine they're using. There's the...
there's HIV, Ebola.
Yeah. There's the Plaquenil. There's a bunch of different medications that are like promising that people are saying they're going through FDA trials, you know? So like maybe in a few months, this thing won't even be so scary. Like if you get it, they just give you a, you know, a couple cocktails and medications, and then you're good to go. You go back home and you get better.
Yeah.
Your sister Allie's here.
Oh,
I think she needs something. Let me put you on hold. One.
Are you? You can't hold a podcast. Are you kidding me? No. Fine. Just put me on hold.
No. Come with me. Come on, baby.
Oh, this is nuts. This is a podcast on the road.
Oh, she's here. Hold on. Hey, we're on a podcast.
Hey, it's me, your sister.
What's up?
You should come see the house tomorrow.
This computer is going to die anyway.
You are ultimately prepared for this. Oh, that's funny.
All right. What's the question? Oh, yeah, the pizza and stuff.
I don't know, man. I'm ready to go back to the normal life. I want people to go back. Whatever.
But at the same time, it can't be just like that, you know?
I just feel bad if I, like, give it to mom or something, you know? Or
well, that's what I'm saying. So, like,
your friends. So, just stay at home for the rest of the year.
Let's say I have somebody in my household that has vulnerabilities, like diabetes, or they're super old or something. How should I go about taking care of these old folk or people with vulnerabilities in my household?
Well, if you guys are all quarantining and doing what you're supposed to, then you might be okay. But if you're going out and possibly exposing yourself, you know, then you guys should stay quarantined from each other too, as much as possible. Keep everything really clean, high touch points, clean everything, your hands clean, try to stay separated. If anybody's vulnerable, for sure, you know, like if this ain't the time, if you're older, or you have heart disease, lung disease, cancer,
wrong time to go.
Don't go anywhere. Just stay home. Stay home. Stay by yourself. Stay in your own room. But then it's pretty crazy. Like some of these people, you know, like I feel really – my first COVID patient, this guy was only in his 50s. He got exposed at work. They called him and said, "Your whatever coworker has it, go get tested." He called his doctor. He did it right. They tested him and told him to stay home. That was when it was the beginning. That was when the tests were taking like 5 days or something to come back.
Yeah.
Told him to stay home unless you started getting worse. And then he came in like 3 days later, way worse, just like looked like he was – his O2 sat was 80. So normal O2 sat is like above 90, 94. This guy's sat was like 80. So that's pretty terrible. Like when someone comes in and their oxygen's in the 80s, it's not good. He's only 50 years old, so he's compensating. He's like still awake and talking and like whatever. Put him in a room, kicked his wife out. His wife's with him and she's like terrified, you know. And we tell her she can't come into the hospital, kicked her out, told her to go home, wait for his call. He got intubated a few hours later and sent up to ICU. And like we called her and we're like, "Hey, we had to intubate him. He's there." She's like, "I want to come see him. I want to come see him." And they're like, "No, you can't." I guess now maybe they're letting people, but she had to stay home for this. This fool's intubated. He's in a, you know, medically induced coma, whatever you want to call it, sedated, and just getting worse and worse, you know. And I feel bad for these people that are, and they're going to die alone. It's a terrible way to go.
Yeah, that sucks.
And that's your spouse or, you know, whatever. She just probably wanted to be in there with him, and they didn't even let her come in. It's like a terrible thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Not an easy thing.
Yeah, the severity is pretty intense.
Yeah.
It's weird because this is starting to feel normal, the lifestyle of being inside and being quarantined. So.
Yeah, man, I love it. Netflix, Amazon, HBO, Go.
All of it.
All those.
The other thing is that's super wild to me is, one, I think you're probably right that this is going to be like a common flu sort of thing and it'll be seasonal, but it's wild to me that a virus can, it almost like out of left field, just become something, you know? And it's like, I would ask you if you could predict, like, what's the likelihood that we're going to see another virus that the human body hasn't gone to us before, but
I think it happens all the time. Well, just in the last 20 years, there's been three new ones that have been pretty deadly, you know. Bill Gates predicted this. You got to listen to those TED Talks, bro. Like 5 years ago.
What'd he say?
Watch out for the coronavirus. It's crazy when you talk to people who are like super smart and they like track where these things came from. This COVID-19, SARS-2, whatever, came from some crazy bat. A lot of these things come from bats. The last one, the MERS, came from a bat, and the SARS came from a bat, whatever. This one came from a bat and then somehow infected a pangolin. You know what a pangolin is?
I got no idea.
I don't even know. It's like from Australia. It's like an aardvark or something weird. And these fools, so apparently this bat, they don't sell at that wet market in Wuhan. They don't sell it there. But people say that it's in like some laboratory that's in Wuhan, chemical warfare stuff. I don't know. It's probably just rumors. But it infected a pangolin. And over there, they eat pangolins. They got like this armor. The animal has like armor, like an aardvark or something, I think.
Yeah.
And these fools, that it gives them like superpowers or healing powers or something.
Yeah.
So they eat it, and someone ate it and got sick.
Oh my gosh. So
the bat is an infected, whatever. It infected the pangolin. I don't know. There's like only certain animals that are close enough related to us that these diseases can like actually be translated to the human, version. Hey, did you hear a tiger got it?
I did hear that.
Joe Exotic's going to get it, man.
Got to protect Joe at all costs. I mean, he should be giving it to Carole Baskin. Come on now.
Trump's going to pardon him, I heard. And he's going to send Carole Baskin to jail.
Really? That's dope. That should happen. She killed her husband. She whacked him. Fed her husband to tigers.
Uh-huh. And she's just annoying.
Yeah. She got those big eyes. She's kind of weird. She's a freak.
Throw away the key.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know anything other than everything that we just talked about is, well, I guess the last thing that I would want to touch on is, there's plenty. I kind of want to talk about silent carriers, because this is my understanding of silent carriers, is you can be non-symptomatic for up to 2 days and you can be giving it to somebody without knowing it. Or what have you seen be legit, non-legit?
So that's one of the reasons why this disease, I think, is like so aggressive and infecting so many people, is because, like, let's say with SARS, you could have it. Most people were start getting symptoms after 5 days, but you were only shedding the virus when you had symptoms. You were only like expelling this virus when you were symptomatic. So these people would start to get really like respiratory symptoms, like really bad cough, shortness of breath, start coughing all over, give it to whoever was in the area. But by that point, you're in the hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, like those people are sick, super sick. So they go to the hospital, and the hospitals were like, taking the proper steps to prevent spread. But this COVID, this new COVID-19, SARS-2, people are, you can be asymptomatic or mild symptoms, and you can be contagious for like 2 to 21 days. So like after a couple days, you're inoculated with this, you can start shedding the virus and you're not even having symptoms, or you're having mild symptoms, and it can last for weeks, you know?
Oh man.
So if you're out there running amok, there's this guy they had a story about this guy in Pasadena. He was only 34. He had asthma, was his comorbidity, which is, asthma is a bad one. If you have, when you get this, it's like with asthma, you already have a lot of inflammation, and then with all of that inflammation that this virus causes, it's like hard to get over.
Yeah.
But this kid went to Florida for work and stayed an extra day to go to Disney World and got sick like the last day at work. But, he wanted to go to Disney World still. So he went, and he's coughing and coughing. And then he said he went back to his hotel room, started coughing up blood. Instead of going to the hospital, gets on a plane, flies to LAX, the busiest hospital there.
Airport
in the world, and probably coughing the whole time, and then ends up going to the hospital and dying. But imagine Disney World, how many people probably got it from that, or on the plane. Like, what if you had to sit next to that guy?
That sucks.
Yeah, sad that he passed away, but it still sucks for all the other people on the plane.
Yeah, that got every single symptom that he had a few days later. That blows. All right. So we talked about the medical side of basically everything. maybe others people are feeling this way too, but for me, I'm like, I don't really even know how to help. How can we help our local communities? What's the best thing we can do? Is there anything more than just being quarantined?
I don't know, man. That's a good question. A lot of people are doing like really cool stuff. A lot of people are bringing in supplies to the hospitals. Like Harbor Freight donated all their N95s, which is cool, you know,
yeah.
And their gloves. People are making masks. Like my mom, our mom, Linda, shout outs.
Gang, gang.
She said her friend was making masks. Do you want any? And I was like, no, that's stupid. You know, I'm using hospital masks. Like, I'm not using a cloth mask. That was like 2 weeks ago. And now we don't have any masks. I'm like, hey, I need a couple masks. So people are doing that kind of stuff, which is cool. I've seen people making the face masks. But that's only like a small part of the problem. You know, there's a lot of other people that are suffering. Like, I feel bad for like these people that live on their own, you know,
yeah.
And they just have to live by themselves. Like, you got to keep in contact with people in your community and your, you know, people in your family and make sure that everybody's doing okay and just do what you can. Like, people are bringing groceries and shopping for old people and doing all kinds of cool stuff to help. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
Get creative, figure something out. You know, there's always something you can do. Even if it's just going and checking on someone and being nice or calling somebody that, you know, is probably alone or like, imagine if you got this, like, it's scary. It's a scary thing to get it. Imagine if you got this and you got to go, the doctor tells you to go home and you got to sit there by yourself and like, think like, oh shit, I'm going to die here by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have family or your family lives far or something, like, that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Go bad for people.
So
get creative, Nick. Figure out a way to help.
I will. For people in San Diego, I'll put it in the show notes. But the Rock Church, you can text info to their number, and they're like rehabilitating masks and like they got it figured out to where it's legit. I don't know, but you could go volunteer your time to rehabilitate some masks. And I've heard that some people are donating to food banks and stuff. But I think you're right about the social aspect. Somebody submitted a question and asked, "Is there anything you can do to like self-treat loneliness in this time?" Because I do think, like you're saying, there's a lot of people that are chilling at home alone.
Yeah, man, that's a good question. I think like what you're saying, you know, like there's a lot of places like that, like that are still going strong, like the churches and food banks and stuff. And that's a good way to get out of your house and have an excuse to be, you know, essential to go help and be around other people. And then you're doing something positive, you know, which is always good for your brain, good for your peace of mind. Exercise is always good. Get out there, and I know you're not supposed to be outside, but
yeah,
run with your mask maybe or something. I don't know.
Am I allowed to go outside? Or walks okay? Is runs okay? Is exercise? What's the line for that if I'm in quarantine?
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, who cares what they say? Stay 6 feet away from people. It's fine.
Yeah.
Stay 6 feet away from people. Wash your hands. Don't go to the gym, you know, go do hot yoga or anything crazy like that. But
yeah, I think they're mainly get out there, do a hike. Yeah.
Let's talk about the mask thing, man. The masks.
Hit me.
That's crazy. This is crazy, right? I got to wear a cloth mask someone's grandma made me at the hospital.
I actually didn't know that hospitals were doing that.
I work at a hospital. I won't say the name.
Mm-hmm.
But
also the name.
Like, I've had a few different jobs there. I've been to like financial like meetings with like vice presidents, and this is like a Fortune 500 company, like $1 billion company, billions of dollars, and this is America, first world country, and I don't have a mask at work. Like, literally, like, I haven't been at work in over a week, so and I've been getting emails that say like, now we're at the point where you get a mask when you clock in, when you check in, and that's your mask for the day.
No, you know, balls.
Like, don't lose it. Don't lose it. But like the last shift I worked, we have a cart that has all the masks and stuff. And they were trying to tell us to conserve, you know, and you don't get the good one, the N95, unless your patient has like COVID. Is positive or if you're intubating. No, even if it is positive, you don't get one. Only if you're intubating or doing something, one of those crazy treatments. Or circumstances, but this cart that has all of our masks in it, like probably like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. I was like, hey, they keep all the masks locked up. I called the charge nurse, like, hey, we're out. You know, yeah. Like, we don't have someone come fill our thing up. She's like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know. We don't have any anymore here. Let me call supply. You know, it was like 2 hours before they came and brought up masks. So for half of the ER, there were no masks for like a cool hour and a half, 2 hour period. This is America, dog. It's crazy.
That's insane. Yeah.
Tell me to go in this room and take care of these people and tell me that is droplet.
That's crazy because, like I said, everything that I heard was like people don't need a mask at home. Like they, you know what I mean? Like don't go to the hospitals and stuff. But I, and they're also saying that cloth for hospital masks are not the best way to go because obviously they're not N95s.
They were saying you're not allowed to wear masks from home because they're not approved by the hospital. Now they're saying
if you got
bring a band. If you got one. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I'm kind of with the thing, not wearing a mask. I haven't been wearing one at home or out in public, you know, like I just keep my distance and
yeah.
Don't touch my face. But if I'm in a room with somebody who's sick enough to be in the hospital, in the ER, then, you know, and like, I don't even know how many patients we've had that are positive. Like so many people are coming in the same exact symptoms. Like it's no coincidence that all these people have fever, cough, shortness of breath, you know, and look like they're dying. Yeah. Like they all have the same look. Their O2 sats are low. Like you're telling me to go into that room with this surgical mask on when the doctor won't even come out of his lounge to see the patient.
Yeah.
The ICU doctors are coming down, the internal medicine doctors, and are looking at the patient from outside the room through the glass. Like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. He looks like shit. All right. And then just like walks out and like puts the orders in. Like they're not even going in the rooms.
Yes.
Because they know that it's a load of crap, that it's droplet precaution. Like,
yeah.
There's no way. If you look at the rest of the country, the rest of the world, like the places where they make the PPEs, like in those Asian countries, like those fools are geared up. Oh, South Korea, sure. Geared up. They got like space suits on, you know?
Yeah.
And they said the infection rate for healthcare workers is like almost non-existent. It's like 5% or less or something of all cases. They got it down.
Yeah. Shoot. We need to get some astronaut suits. That's for sure.
We need to get like a little factory going, bro. We can make some money.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a bad idea. It's that's the thing that's crazy to me too. Cause it's like things are out of supplies and I'm like, well usually we just manufacture them in China, but it's like, well now we can't be doing that. So when we're out.
Alibaba Express is closed down, man.
I know, dude. It's so funny because I was so into drop shipping 2 months ago, and I was studying it so hard. And then this happens, and I'm like, I got nothing. There's no way I can get anything from China over here.
I'm still waiting for my Burb Life polo, man.
Dog, it's coming. It's coming, bro. I actually sent you the new tank top that has yet to be released, but they said it's going to be delayed due to COVID-19. So.
Is this spaghetti straps?
For you, yeah. Not for everybody else. It's a mankini.
Cool. Hey. Did I get the polo?
Only because you're asking me on the podcast. Yeah, you can get the polo too. I want to talk about cross-contamination. Because cross-faded on gloves. And then it's like...
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the other problem. Big problem with this PPE scandal. This is a scandal.
Hit me.
Right, Congressman. All these, like, there's these accrediting agencies like JACO, mm-hmm. or the BRN, who accredit hospitals, and, like, their job is to protect the public from healthcare workers. It's not to protect the healthcare worker. It's not that they're saying, I don't have my – that's OSHA that says that my job's not safe for me, but, like – they're so quick to come in all year round and say everything that we're doing wrong, and they haven't shown their face once since this stuff started. And it's cool for me to wear the same dirty COVID mask and same gown that I've been wearing all day that obviously has shit on it. That's why I'm wearing it into multiple rooms. You know, like you come in for something else, I'm going to give you COVID.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
It's ridiculous. I think when it's all said and done, there's going to be some people that are in trouble. or some people that get paid.
That's for sure.
You know? Hey, because like if you're a healthcare worker and they're sending you in there and you come down with this, you know, and God forbid you have a bad outcome or you have to miss work for a long time or something, like I think they should be responsible for it.
Well, for sure. I mean,
but I wouldn't do that, you know, in case my job was listening. Nah, I'm a team player.
Team player right here, all the way. I ain't never do nothing like that.
Got my lawyer on speed dial.
But what do you do? This is a national crisis.
I know. That's the thing is, I get it. It's a national crisis and it's a crazy circumstance. I just wish they would tell us the truth. Like, hey, check it out. It's crazy. It's super contagious. And we hope you don't get it because we don't have no supplies. Like, do your best. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just be honest with me. Don't try to play me.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same thing for like media sources too. I wish narratives weren't spun in a non-factual way. It's like finding the truth about what's actually happening. It's almost, you have to get it to know, I feel like, you know what I mean? To like really understand, or you who are seeing it every day, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's crazy. Like watching the media that these fools have no clue, you know, like Governor Cuomo, he sounds like he kind of gets that it's a shit show, but nobody else, you know, nobody else. Like Trump saying that, oh, we mailed out 100 million N95s this week, and we mailed out, and this many more are coming next week. And there's plenty of tests available. Like, fool, I don't got no mask, and people are waiting 8 days for that. You are. Yeah. I don't know where they're coming from. It's not Southern California.
Yeah.
But they're all concerned about like the craziest stuff, like putting hobos in motel rooms and like weird stuff like that, and spending $6 trillion on carnival cruises. I don't even know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's beyond me.
They messed up when they didn't do that. I can't remember the term for it now. The Procurement Act, or where he like Trump declared some wartime act where manufacturers had to sell it to us first, had to sell it to the government first. You know what can I remember what it's called? So they messed up. They waited too long to do that. Like we have been shipping all of our stuff overseas. Like 3M said on the news that they haven't been filling any of our local orders for masks.
It went to Italy because first,
we've been getting outbid. And they're sending them to Saudi Arabia or something because those fools are paying like 10, 20 times what it's worth. But so apparently they did some type of legislation where that these companies have to sell it to, you know, America first. But hopefully that'll do something, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough to say.
They have dropped the ball. I voted for Trump. I probably will vote for him again because there's nobody else to vote for, but that fool dropped the ball along with everybody else dropped the ball. Like, nobody saw it coming. It's just a crazy thing that happened probably, but I'm sure someone saw it coming.
I mean, you made it sound like Bill Gates saw it coming.
Bill Gates saw it coming. And also those senators, you hear about those senators. There's like five of them. The lady from California, Feinstein, Burr, and some other white girl from Georgia and some other people. They're in the Senate Intelligence Committee, so they get briefed on everything important going on in the world all the time, like once a week or something.
Yeah.
They leave their meeting. All of them sell off their stock portfolios after this meeting. This lady sells like $19 million in stocks, and like she had like $2 million in Boeing. She had like she sells everything off. She invested millions into Zoom. She bought Zoom and some other telehealth thing. Like this lady saw it coming. And this was like the beginning of February. And then she comes out and says on the news, like the same day after that meeting, was like, the economy's strong. This virus isn't coming to America. There's nothing Americans need to worry about. You guys are in good hands. We're taking care of you. As these fools are like getting ready for the storm, you know, and telling us we're going to be fine. Don't worry about your 401ks that everybody just lost.
Oh,
thousands of dollars. Those people.
Oh, for sure. Me included, man. I lost.
I'm voting for Joe Exotic this year.
Joe Exotic, 2020 baby, all the way. Yeah, no, the stock market crashing from this was left field. left field to me. I learned a lot of financial lessons. I'll just say that.
Hey, come up for me because
you weren't investing.
Yes. I didn't have nothing to begin with. A little bit of 401k, and I just been buying up those Disney stocks, Carnival, United Airlines,
Boeing, all that stuff. Yeah, I learned that you should always have some money on the side to invest just in case.
Keep some in your mattress.
Mr. Crab style. Hard lesson to learn, honestly. So wait, cross contamination, cross faded. It's happening. It's not happening. What's going on? These people with gloves?
Because I don't know if there's any like science to it or if there's any confirmed cases, but I guarantee you it's happening. I guarantee you, if I had to bet, you know, all of my 4 stocks that I bought this week,
nice,
on it, whether someone had walked into the hospital without corona and got it there and, you know, got sick, it's 100% it's happening.
Yeah.
Nurses, patients, doctors.
Yeah. Everybody. Nobody's safe.
It's a cesspool up in there. It's a big old cesspool filled
COVID
gangbang. Yeah, COVID.
Gross. Yeah. I feel like I'm seeing people like wear gloves, right?
Oh yeah. Dumb.
And go to the grocery store and then touch the cart and then touch their phone and then put their phone on their face and you know what I mean? Like they're, yeah. It's like they're,
yeah. You're wearing gloves when you're doing that. Like you can actually wear gloves and clean them with hand sanitizer, you know, and keep wearing them.
Yeah.
But like after a certain amount of time, you've touched enough stuff. Like those things got to go in the trash.
Yeah.
And if you're touching your face and stuff with the gloves, that defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
The gloves are to wear when you're touching something soiled and then discard.
Yep.
And what's really pissing me off is that I've been seeing gloves everywhere. Like all over the ground, outside the grocery store, all over the hospital parking lot. It's like, you guys are assholes leaving your dirty COVID gloves all over for someone else to pick up.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of all these people.
Shout out to Costco. They're letting in healthcare workers an hour early or something, or friend of the line.
Oh, shoot.
So I'm about to go on toilet paper my next day off.
Oh, yeah? Stock up?
And buy it all.
All the toilet paper, all the hand sanitizer? I'm
going to go toilet paper a house.
Just because I got so much. They've been limiting, I don't know if they've been doing it up there, but in San Diego, they've been limiting, you can buy one roll of toilet paper when you go to the store.
Roll? Not even a bag?
It's a bag of four. You get, four rolls. Man. Yeah, it's pretty nasty. Same with milks. I think you can only get one milk down here.
Yeah, that's how they have it at the stores around here. You get one of all those like high ticket items. Like, but the Stater Brothers on Apple Valley Road in Bear Valley, those guys are doing it. Those guys really stepped up. Those are the heroes. Those are the heroes of this virus, this pandemic.
Why?
Their shelves are stocked, and they got every check stand open. They got baggers. They got everything you need, eggs, milk, all that stuff is there. You only have to buy one, but it's all there, and they're really stepping up to the plate. Dang. I'm going to go buy them.
You should. You should buy them a pack of gloves.
I'm going to buy them some gloves.
Yeah, I've been seeing that anybody out in the town that's serving the community, the baggers, the delivery men, is a mailman different than a delivery man? Yeah, a mailman, postman, all them folk, the heroes, in addition to the healthcare.
Hey, and the DoorDash and Uber Eats and those fools.
That's what I'm saying. Should I?
Really like checkers, you know, like I feel like nurses and doctors are getting a lot of gratitude, which is cool. Like we're doing some dirty work right now, but those checkers and baggers and a lot of like people like cart pushers and stuff are out there risking it, like, and getting paid probably minimum wage, you know, some of them getting paid like what, 10 bucks, 15 bucks or something.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It is rough.
Making the ultimate sacrifice for the greater good.
Honestly, tell your delivery man to put your food outside of your door. Don't touch your delivery men. Don't high five them when you get your food. Rule number one.
Unless you're going to give them a tip, $5.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, that's true. Any other last practical tips for the people back home?
You got to keep yourself healthy, like, even before you get this. That's the best way to, like, combat it. Do a little exercise, eat right, drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
Smoke.
Don't smoke.
Don't vape. Nick, no vaping. Ooh. Don't get the coronavirus. It ain't no joke. People are taking it serious, not taking it serious. I tell you what, man. I've been in there seeing this stuff, and it is nothing you want to mess with if you can help it, even if you're young. I walked through the ICU the other day, and I was talking to this nurse, and I was like, hey, walk me through the COVID unit. And she walked me just down one hall. It was like 10 beds. And the first patient was 29, mm-hmm. was a guy who was 29, and she was like, he's going to die. Look at him. She was showing me his vent settings, and his heart rate was like 160. And she was like, yeah, he looks terrible. He's going to die. And the next lady was like 37, a lady.
Yeah,
she looked like it. And then there was like a guy in his 50s, and then there were some old people, and it's like, it doesn't matter if you're young, you know, like you could still not walk away from it.
Yeah.
And also you don't want to give it to your grandma, because I think over 80 years old, like the mortality rate's like ridiculous. 10 to 15 something. It's pretty high.
Yeah, to stay home. I don't think I've left the home since this thing started. I think I've left home once to get groceries, and that's it. Yeah. I've been stuck in here. It's been a great time, though. I've had a great time.
There you go. Good. Good for you. I leave the house every day.
Because you go to work or what?
I can't stay home. I got ADD.
ADD?
Home Depot or something.
That's fair. Well, you're building something, so it's fine, you know. You got to keep those hobbies going, too. Yeah. All my hobbies are wrapped around stuff like this, so it's easier, you know?
Yeah, man. It's cool. I like this podcast.
Podcast.
That's what else we talk about. Let's do another one.
Do you want to? I could end this one, and I have. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna listen to some more COVID stuff on my way home from work, but then I just listened to a Joe Rogan instead.
Are you kidding me? You didn't even listen to this one? Are you gonna say that?
Oh, I mean, I listened to a bunch of these ones first, but I listened to this Joe Rogan, and this guy he's an ultra marathon runner.
Yeah.
This fool ran 100 miles mm-hmm. at a 6:45 pace.
Wow.
100.
That's crazy.
It was like 14 hours or something, or 12 hours.
That is nuts. Yeah. That's his whole life, though.
Run 1 mile at 6:45. I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
maybe if either. I sprinted, I'd probably die.
Same. I've been looking at a cool 8:30 these days.
Hey, on a
trying.
Good day.
I'm trying.
I'm stoked if I get an 8:30.
I'm starting to feel my heavy set, you know, weighing me down as I'm jogging along.
Yeah, I got this quarantine belly now.
I think that's real too. The quarantine belly is a real thing because I can only run and I don't like running, so it's like I'd rather just not, you know. Until the weights come back, I'm not coming back, you know. Pouring out.
I feel you, bro. I feel you.
Daniel, where can we find you on the internet?
You can check out my YouTube channel or my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on none of those things, man. You can check me out on the podcast, NickNatalyShow.com.
Pretty close. Yeah, that's it.
I got a bone to pick with you, actually.
Me?
Yeah.
What?
You were in a magazine and they asked you all about living in a suburban and you said, oh yeah, I wanted to live in a suburban to pay off my debts and I built this thing from the ground up.
I didn't say no that. Help. I didn't say that, bro.
And that stupid suburban was parked in my backyard for like a year,
bro.
As we worked on that thing. And I was out there killing all the rats that were living inside of it, bumping up the tires every time they went flat. Putting a new battery in, charging the battery, and I didn't even get one
Bruh.
Hashtag like shout out.
I've been giving you so many shout outs since the dawn of the birth of the burb life, since the origin. And I made up for it. There's another magazine coming out in 4 days. Your name's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're talking about the podcast. They're not talking about the burb. So I guess this is perfect timing having you on.
Yep.
It's meant to be. I told him about the time that you got hit by a car on your bike. That's how I mentioned you.
That was hilarious.
It said, what's one of your fondest childhood memories? And I said, well, my brother got hit by a car.
We were riding to McDonald's to get pancakes.
Yeah.
That kid blasted me. Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
There was a, here's what I remember from that is I had a bike, and for my birthday, I got new handlebars for this bike, and my bike didn't have brakes, so you had to ride in front, and you rode in front, and we were crossing the, what is it called, the exit for the gas station, and these two stoners, I just hear one of them go, dude, stop, stop, bro, dude, stop, and then I see you roll on top of the hood, laughing the entire time, and the sky was shook, your bike was crunched in half, it was glorious.
Yeah, bike, but luckily I fell on top of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was scared. He was high.
Yeah, sure. So.
Dude, I'm so sorry. All these people came running up. Are you okay?
I was laughing the whole time. And I, maybe looking back, I don't know if that was the most appropriate reaction, but I think you were laughing too, so it's all good.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
It was funny.
I thought it was funny. And you got your bike fixed, so happy ending.
No, I got a new bike. I told him, I was like, hey, man, I just bought this bike. It was $200. Yeah, I got it at a yard sale for like
$50. You got a brand new bike out of it. That's awesome. Yeah, so that's the story that's going to be in the magazine. Oh, I told him the other story, too, of when you chopped my toenail off.
Ooh, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
We're playing hide-and-go-seek. You tried to hide in the pantry. I knew you were in there. So I opened the door real hard, and I was going to smash you in between the wall and the door, and you screamed. I was like, oh, man.
I really smashed him.
Yeah, I'm really smashing him. And I opened the door, and the toenail was flipped all the way up.
Yep. Oh, man, that was brutal. I remember
big
I
– toe. Big toe, too.
Ooh, that was brutal. Yeah. I walked out of there, and I remember I didn't feel any – you know, anything crazy until somebody, it was either mom or Amy, was like, are you okay? That's when I started to freak out. I was like, oh, shoot, maybe I'm not. Maybe my toenail's not okay. And it wasn't.
You were fine.
I was fine. I walked it off.
Jumped in the pool, rinsed it off.
Did I jump in the pool? I put that I had a snack pack. I do remember that. Consoled myself with a chocolate snack pack. Okay, get off my podcast. I'm going to stop.
So this is a podcast, huh? This is what it's about?
Yep. Something like it.
Thanks. You didn't ask me anything about myself. You didn't ask me, like, background.
Thanks for the informative information. Background, dude, you're gonna be on a whole nother episode. I'll do a whole episode dedicated to your life.
Backstory on the next episode.
Would you want that? I'll do it.
All my accomplishments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you? You wouldn't be down. You wouldn't even be close to down, bro.
Dog, I am down. I love this.
All right. Well,
I'm in it.
Well, first of all, if we do this again, don't have a thousand things hitting an iron pan in the background. What the heck is that all about?
You said wild living over here,
bro. You're at a freaking construction site, literally. Uh-huh. I thought I heard a jackhammer. Uh-huh. Throwing a rager, having people come in.
A crazy little dictator back there, man. She does what she wants. There's no control.
You have like 40 rooms in your house. You could have picked any of them.